Blog Talk Radio.
Pooling our money is our seed to sovereignty. Will you help us sow it? Our roots began in Africa, where we enjoyed self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty. Peace, family. Welcome to Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us weekly radio program that airs every Thursday evening from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Dare to Win is the place where we have sobering conversation about the economic plight of Black people and the imperative that we build the global economic machinery that will free us and once again put us on the path of making history. We at Us Lifting Us have developed an exact methodology on how to build this machinery and pass it forward to our children and future generations. To join tonight's conversation, please call 929-477-2789. Press the number 1 on your keypad when you want to make a comment or ask a question. If you're on your computer, go to www.usliftingus.com. Scroll down to the bottom of the homepage, click on the Dare to Win button, then click on Listen Live. You'll be at the Blog Talk Radio site at that time. My name is Sister Q, and joining me for this evening's discussion is Brother Ankti, who, like me, is a member of Ulu. Peace, Brother Ankti. How are you tonight?
Peace, Sister Q. I am great. Good to hear you. Good to be with you and the Us Lifting Us family this evening, as always.
It's good to have you here again. We enjoy our conversations with you. To begin tonight, Brother Ankti, let's begin the discussion. Pooling our money is our seed to sovereignty. Will you help us sow it? Will you define sovereignty for us, please?
Sovereignty is power, is group power specifically, more so than individual power. A sovereign nation is made up of sovereign people, but it's the collective power of the group that is makes it sovereign. So sovereignty has to do with power, the ability to translate what the group thinks into action, the ability to define themselves, speak for themselves, act on their own behalf to pursue their own interests, and the ability to protect themselves and not allow other groups to invade their space or interrupt or disrupt their activities. So it is the goal of communities and nations and groups to be sovereign. And we'll talk about it as we get further into the program, but you really have to be sovereign in order to make history. To the degree that a group is not sovereign, then basically they are participating in the making of history for others as opposed to for themselves. So sovereignty as a goal, it's crucial. It's a critical goal for us as a people. We remember coming out of slavery, and even into the 1960s, we were struggling for things like integration and fair treatment, calls for justice, which sounds like what's going on in the streets today. But we were not focused on achieving sovereignty as a goal, which had we done that, we probably would have crafted a very different reality by now.
That sounds like an accurate assessment to me, because it seemed that at one time we were heading in that direction, you know, with the segregation. We were having to do for self and rely on ourselves more than we have to since the civil rights so-called gains. And
exactly.
So I agree.
Exactly.
I agree with you there. So tell us what you see going on right now that is a glaring example that we do not have sovereignty, for those who think that we do. You know, if we had sovereignty, we would not see whatever. Give us some examples of that.
You raise a great question. Not only do we not have sovereignty, we really are experiencing or living through what Professor Ezra Aharon calls chattel freedom. We still have not shared the designation of being chattel, of being portable property owned by others. And so that is why the goal of sovereignty is so important. It's because only when we achieve sovereignty will we achieve the full expression of our humanity. And so that is something that we have to begin to think very seriously about. And you know, Sister Q, I was looking at the collapse of the condominium complex in Surfside, Florida, the collapse of that Champlain Tower, the South Building, in the early morning hours of June 24th. For me, that serves as a prescient metaphor for disaster capitalism in 2021. The condo collapsed because the foundation had eroded over its 40-year lifetime. And the responsible officials ignored the reports that the building was unsafe, and they'd had these reports since as early as 2018. Strikes me that black people are similar to the sleeping tenants in that faded tower. We find ourselves here, and capitalism is collapsing before our very eyes. Now is the time to evacuate this collapsing economy before it caves in upon us and build a genuinely safe and sound reality for ourselves and for future generations. And so one of the things I was hoping we might do tonight, Sister Q, is to have a conversation around four basic ideas with our listeners and pose one very simple question. And the first idea that I wanted to share with our listeners is the idea that ULU as a cooperative economic business is a special container. Think of the ULU cooperative as a black people's savings bank or money holding apparatus.
Okay.
But it is organic, more akin to a sacred womb because it will give birth to new co-ops. So ULU is the birthing chamber for a new kind of business entity serving the global material needs of black people. When we in ULU speak of pooling our money, we are really talking about and asking our members to make deposits of financial energy into this sacred womb. We are not asking any other people or communities to help us, to loan us any money, to offer us any grants, and we certainly are not begging anyone to underwrite our freedom. We have decided to become the captains of our own destiny and build whatever we need to protect ourselves and advance our interests as sovereign men and women in the world. Now, anyone that has listened to Dare to Win for any length of time knows you often hear us talking about the fact that $1.3 trillion flows through black hands every year. Uh-huh. So clearly, black folks have more than enough money to build our own society if we make the decision to pool our dollars.
Uh-huh.
So think about it. 10% of $1.3 trillion is $130 billion. 1% of $1.3 trillion is $13 billion. It is our intent in ULU to capture just 1% of the national money flowing through black hands and use that $13 billion to launch a global black-owned and black-controlled cooperative conglomerate that at the same time will be the catalyst for a global cooperative economy serving the needs of African women and men and children around the globe. Does this sound like a really big idea? Well, consider this. When Marcus Garvey and the UNIA ACL launched the Black Star Shipping Line in 1919, they very quickly raised $800,000 by selling $5 shares to working class and poor black families. The equivalent, in other words, if $800,000 in 1919 is the equivalent of $12,639,000 in today's dollars. So obviously, Garvey and the UNIA were thinking very big in 1919. The Garvey movement grew to be 6 million people strong with chapters all around the world. And they did this without the internet or cell phone. Imagine what ULU can and will do when we get serious. Consider ULU with just 4 million members, just 10% of the U.S. black population, each purchasing one co-op unit of $1,000 would generate $4 billion. Marinate on these possibilities for just a minute. Meanwhile, while we're thinking about that, in 2019, 2 years ago, China was investing $110 billion in Africa. Much of this money went into various kinds of infrastructure projects. Why? Because Africa is the present and the future because they have a population of 1.3 billion people and the majority of whom are under 30 years of age. Africa is the next world market for everything, for natural resources, whether we're talking aluminum, uranium, coltan, bauxite, diamonds, gold, you name it. The continent is rich in natural resources and a population that will be able to consume whatever anyone can produce. We, on the other hand, here in North America, have been lulled into thinking about our individual prosperity. Check that. In other words, how can I make $250,000 a year or $1 million a year annually? How can I buy a $300,000 house with a 5,000 square feet? Or how can I buy a $75,000 Tesla or $100,000 Maybach Mercedes? Our focus is on individual success, however we define that, and consumption, but not on group ownership and group production, and most importantly, group power. So Ulu is our weapon of mass creation. It is a tool, and it is a weapon, because it enables us to act as a group. People, it is time we pool our money in the Us Lifting Us Sacred Savings Womb. We in Ulu are not asking you to trust us. And this is a point that I really wanted to drive home, Sister Q. Let me repeat. We in Ulu are not asking you to trust us with your hard-earned money. You don't know us like that, and we get it. We began by saying that Ulu is a special container. What we meant by that is when you become a part of Ulu by paying an annual membership fee of $50 and purchasing a $1,000 co-op unit as quickly as you are able to, what you then do as a member is you tell Ulu what to do with the money we are raising. The board of directors who you vote for at each annual members meeting are in place to serve you. In this organization, you don't hand over your money and go sit down somewhere. You contribute your money and roll up your sleeves and help us decide how we're going to maximize the dollars we are raising. It is time we pool our money and build what we need and what we want. Let me pause there, Sister Q. You may have some questions, or there may be questions from our listeners.
So far, we don't have any questions on the board. However, what I wanted to add to what you were saying, we have pooling our money is our seed to sovereignty, and we can define money as more than the little green pieces of paper. So the energies that people bring to Ulu along with the glow green pieces of paper is also money, because it
absolutely
helps, you know.
Yes.
So
yes.
It's, we're taught we're taught to just think of money in one way. We don't, everybody outside of us sees us as resources and money and capital. That's why when they want to introduce a new product, they want to, they present it to us so that we can put our energy in the form of pieces of paper into it. But we don't see ourselves as being as important as we are to the general scheme of things. Why that is. Most of our beliefs are based on programming that we receive from the time we're little tiny people. So we are, we're programmed to think that we don't matter. And I think that's one of the things that Ulu has to overcome, because that people don't see the value of themselves and their money as a collective to join together to create something, because if it's black folks creating it, therefore it cannot be any good. So we've got a lot of brain work to do. We do have someone with a question or a comment, so I'm going to open the board now and see if I can get this person on. Peace, caller with the last four digits, 3440. Please state your name, where you're calling from, and make your comment or ask your question.
Yeah, greetings, Sister Q. This is Brother Shabaka, and also greetings to you, Brother Auntie. A very, very enlightened show today and tonight. And I do have a question, and I think you alluded to it while you were talking, Sister Q, and that is, I think when we look at what Brother Auntie is saying, we can visualize it, we can look outside, we can see everybody in our community just absorbing what we have, taking it to their community and not giving anything back, and then we wonder why we have the poverty. My question to you, Brother Auntie, all right, having witnessed this, what do you see as probably a major problem that people accept what you just say, that we need to pool our resources and own our own destiny, but for some reason there's a reluctancy in doing what they believe should be done? I'll hang up and listen to your response. Thank you.
Thank you.
Greetings, Brother Shabaka. And I think you certainly put your finger on one of the critical challenges that we face in building us, lifting us. First of all, I think from a historical perspective, you know, we talk about Black Wall Street and Tulsa, Oklahoma, how this was a thriving community in 1920. We recognize that Garvey and the UNIA were rising to considerable power in 1920. And the thing, and Sister Q alluded to this, the thing that they had going for them was that the level of terrorism being visited upon our communities by white folks so intense that black folks had to work together to survive, so that we had a very strong group consciousness, a very strong group awareness. We didn't see ourselves as individuals, because we realized that at any point, aside from us being part of a group able to protect itself, any individual was liable to be picked off, attacked. Anything could happen to us, and so the idea of being a community was second nature. It wasn't even anything that we thought had to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward to 2021. It is clear that, Brother Shabaka, as you alluded to, other groups are acting as groups. So be it the Hispanic community, be it the Indian community, be it the white community, the Korean community, all of these communities are exercising group behavior. We are not. We are functioning as individuals. We see ourselves as being successful when we can parlay whatever connections we have, whatever people we know, whatever work we can do, and we are attempting to amass, in my opinion, a personal economic standing or status. And we fail to see that real power is only exercised through groups that are working in concert. And so, Brother Shabaka, I think at the root of your question is the notion that we do not trust ourselves to pool our money and to put it in one big pot and then to make a decision how to do this. And I think that self-trust, or that lack of trust of each other, has to do with a weakening of how we see ourselves. And that's why I made the comment in my remarks that the only way people develop trust is feelings over time. Mm-hmm. When people work together in environments where they see each other, they exhibit certain behaviors, they see how people behave under stress, and over time, this thing called trust develops. That we do not have right now, for the large part, in our community. And not only do we not trust the larger community around us, quiet as it's kept, some of us don't even trust ourselves. And when I say don't trust ourselves is we don't believe that we really can build global institutions that will rival what other groups are doing. And so when people are asked to put $1,000 into a kitty along with others and then make collective decisions about how to use that money, that can be a very daunting experience for us. And so that's, I think, part of the beauty of Us Lifting Us, is that not only do you contribute your resources, your economic energy, your physical energy, your money, we invite you to be a part of the decision-making process in this organization, so that mm-hmm. when we make the decision to build something, it's a collective decision. And we operate on the basis of African consensus. In other words, everybody has to be in agreement that this is the move that we need to make. It's not majority rules. It's mm-hmm. we expect that all of us are mature enough to take the information, analyze it, and make a sound decision in the presence of our ancestors and the elders, and come up with a course of action that will bring the results that we're looking for. And so ULU provides that environment where we can begin to build this trust, where we can begin to do the research so we can make sound decisions, and then we can see and reap the fruits of our labor working together in this kind of environment. There are very few organizations like ULU that offer us this opportunity. And I think we find ourselves at a point in history, in time, where we don't have any choice. We are under assault. The right wing is freaking out and doing everything in their power to suppress our votes, to withdraw any voting power that we did have. And so just as we were able in 1919 and 1920 to build these Black Wall Streets across the United States by organizing our economic resources, that opportunity mm-hmm. is still in our hands to do something with. We have the power to organize our dollars, to pool our money, and to make decisions about how we will spend that money in ways that will be to our advantage. I hope I answered your question, Brother Shabbat.
He's gone. He listened on the phone. We do have another someone else that wants to make a comment or ask a question, so I'm opening their line for you. Caller with the last four digits, 4329, please state your name, where you're calling from, ask your question, or make your comment. Thank you.
4329, yes. My name is Deborah Jacobs. I'm from Brooklyn, New York. I'm the granddaughter and great-niece and cousin of Garveyites, so I don't have those inhibitions. My question is there a plan in place that a person like myself that has a technical background, not an economic background in terms of money and planning and business, could see exactly what you may have as a framework for how the investments are done, how when you invest Can you draw out from it? Is there in and out? You know, do you have a framework? I don't expect that you would tell me the details here because I probably would have to see it and it'd take me 2 days to figure it out. But those are my questions. I don't have a problem with my own people.
Thank you.
Thank you, sister, for the question. The beauty of us lifting us, and sister alluded to it, even though, or especially because you do have a background in technology, we have to build a range of institutions to meet the needs of Black folks. And that's what an economy does. It provides goods and services to meet the needs of its members. So whether that's a need for child care services or elder care, for education of a child, for medical service, for the production of a shelter or food or clothing or what have you, all of those areas of need, we in Ulu have to build the businesses that can supply those needs. So the first thing I would say to your question is, no matter what your area of expertise is or what your background is, there is a need for that to be part of how we build institutions in those different arenas so we can meet the needs of our people. Now, the way Ulu is structured is that we have the $50 annual membership fee, which is basically takes care of administrative costs in getting people into the database and set up. And then we ask people, as they are able and when they are able, to purchase a co-op unit for $1,000. Now, it is that $1,000 that gives us the ability to open new businesses. And for that reason, we ask people to leave their money in the pool at least for 3 to 5 years to give us time to build the organization, build the other businesses, and allow those businesses to become profitable, because once they become profitable, then you as a co-op unit holder receive dividends on the profitability of the different businesses that are up and running. And so Ulu is not set up to be kind of a quick hit, so to speak, you know, to invest your $1,000 today and 6 months from now it's grown to $5,000 and you can do whatever you need to do with that money. This is a long-haul organization. We are serious about building a series of economic institutions that can sustain us in a hostile environment and that can help us to flourish even when the environment around us is not hostile. So this is the work, and if you, as you say, are a descendant of Garveyites, you fully understand that the intent then and now was to build a reality that we as Black people own and control. We're institution building. Yes, we are asking for people to contribute resources, but we're not the kind of investment vehicle that people are expecting when they say go to the stock market. So that would be my response to you, sister, and I hope I'm answering your question. And, yes, you can go to the website to get – go ahead, sister.
Yes. Yeah. Do you have a plan, some kind of plan written out or, you know, I know these things have a life of their own and they morph, but – you know, do you have something that someone could read about, you know, like what you plan in the first year, the second year, you know, and that type of thing that someone could look at before they make the investment?
Yes. One, I would invite you to look at our website and look at the work that the Business Research and Development Committee is doing. They have a number of projects on the drawing board with time frames, and I think that would begin to give you some answer to your specific question.
What is the website, brother?
It's
I'm writing it.
USLIFTINGUS, uslifting us, all one word, .com.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your call. Thank you. Okay. Brother Auntie, did you want to take a quick music break, or you want to just keep going?
Yeah, we can take a quick music break, sis. And when we come back, we'll talk about the second idea of Ulu as the seed.
Okay. Awesome. Welcome back to Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us Thursday night weekly radio program, where we discuss taking control of the economic destiny of our people and how we're going to do that. Tonight, Brother Amti is helping us to understand why it is important that we pool our resources so we can sow our seed of sovereignty. So, Brother Amti, do you want to continue?
I do, and thank you again, Sister Q. Pooling our money is our seed to sovereignty. Ulu as a special container is like a sacred ovary containing sacred seeds. As anyone who has ever planted anything knows, the entire plant is contained inside the protective shell of the seed. And when the conditions are right, the seed will germinate and will produce a new plant. So if anyone has ever seen an acorn, for example, it's amazing that something that can fit in the palm of your hand contains within itself an entire oak tree.
Yes.
That I find phenomenal. But it's even more spectacular than that. Not only does it contain an entire oak tree, but every oak tree that is in that seed will also produce seed. So, in fact, that one acorn represents an entire grove of oak trees. I mean, so it's miraculous, and it's scientific. The cosmos, as we know, operates by universal law. And so this idea of sowing and reaping is a cosmically ordered event. So what we are saying about Ulu is It is a seed. The institution itself is a seed. It is a container that will give birth to additional cooperative businesses. Now, just as important, at the core of ULU is African acele or germ or essence of African consciousness. That is, ULU is grounded in the ancient African philosophy of Ma'at and the Nguza Saba that we celebrate during Kwanzaa. We know that Ma'at consists of truth, justice, righteousness, order, balance, harmony, and reciprocity, and that the Nguza Saba includes unity, self-determination, collective work and responsibility, cooperative economics, purpose, creativity, and faith. So these are the values and core concepts that guide us lifting us and that guarantee we can only produce an African-centered, family-centered, group-owned cooperative enterprise. What we're saying is all economies reproduce the values of the society. We find ourselves in a capitalist economy that every day and with every financial transaction, every time the register goes ka-ching, the European values of competition, of domination and control, of materialism, of white supremacy, of violence are being reproduced into the superstructure of the society. You know, every city is, finds itself in the grip of a crime wave, and there's all of these shootings going on, and everybody's scratching their heads and pulling their hair out. Oh, what is happening, and why is everything seeming to fall apart? Because the values that drive capitalism are competition, individualism, materialism, violence, white supremacy, and as long as they can dominate and oppress and exploit other people, that surplus comes back to benefit white folks. And now that all of the internal contradictions are starting to express themselves, the entire system is coming apart at the seams. And so it's creating a moment of awareness for us as a people to realize this system does not work for us, and it will never work for us. We must produce a system based on African values and what our ancestors have taught us is important. So it's important to tell the truth. It's important to treat your fellow sister and brother with dignity and respect. It's important to practice justice. It's important to understand that the world exists in harmony and there's a sense of balance and reciprocity, that these kinds of behaviors are necessary if you're going to have a sustainable world. And so it is imperative that we replace this collapsing capitalist economy with an African-centered, group-owned, family-centered, black-owned and controlled economic model, which is us lifting us. But this is a seed, and that's the point that we want to make. As a seed, it will replicate when the conditions are ripe, and right now the conditions are ripe. Yes, we are building a physical business, but it is preceded first by an African spiritual blueprint. In other words, first the idea of what we want, and then we come together and pool our resources to materialize it, and then we wind up with the kinds of businesses that meet the needs of our people. We are not interested in reproducing a Euro-American institution that will perpetuate white domination over black and brown people. Every time we talk about ULU, whether over the radio, on TV, YouTube, social media, on our cell phones, we are sowing the seed idea of the only institution that will rescue our people and the world from collapsing capitalism. We are sowing the seeds of the world we intend to see tomorrow. There is nothing more powerful than an idea whose time has come. Ulu is that idea, and pooling our money to build cooperative businesses is the time we are living in right now. As Tupac so aptly stated, you going to be like, damn, a rose grew from the concrete. Yes, as a people, we are coming up from the muck and the slime of slave ships, slavery, segregation, terrorism, genocide, and still we rise. Nature is unstoppable. Seeds are unstoppable. Ulu is unstoppable. It is the presence of our ancestors living through us, guiding us. Indeed, it is our time to grow out of the concrete of urban ghettos and transform those spaces into new African villages and communities. It is this spirit dimension of Ulu that gives it its unique power and makes a successful outcome inevitable. I'll pause there, Sister Q. There may be comments or questions, or I may have triggered something that you want to say
yes,
further about.
Yes, for sure. No more. There's no one else on the board with a question or comment. However, you mentioned the acorn and the tree in the acorn, and how you know, we don't think in terms of that. When you have that one seed, the seed holds infinity. You know.
Yes.
There's no telling how many trees and seeds that will come out of that one seed. And so that's what we're looking at with Ulu, this one idea to create a business that is infinite in scope, because
absolutely
we are opening our minds to the possibility, and once we can see and understand that it can be done, and we go ahead and start doing it, the sky is actually the limit. And I think
you're so right.
We, as a people, are not encouraged to think in those kinds of terms for ourselves as a group. We think in terms of, if you know, if we join a group over there, if they let us in, that group can do that, and we can do it with them. Or like you said, I can get my own little house and my own car and my own this and my own that, not realizing that if, you know, a friend of mine used to make this statement, and I could never understand, I could never say the statement until I really one day something happened and I understood it. And then I could say it real easy. And the statement is, the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. We always think, you know, the only value is me and you, and that makes two. But it makes more than two, because
absolutely,
everything is magnified, multiplied, and it really makes infinity, because we don't know what all the two of us can do together.
That's
come
right.
To that concept, come to a state of unity, I would say, a state of, you know, where our minds are together, where, what does it say, where two or more are gathered, there's infinite possibility. So
absolutely,
that is what,
and that's science.
I see. Yeah.
So not only can it be done, we are the ones that will do it. And you're
no
absolutely
doubt.
Right. Our challenge is to look in the mirror and recognize that the image looking back at us is capable of doing this and more. And and then when we multiply that one and become two and three, then the sky is the limit. It becomes infinite in terms of what we can accomplish as a group.
No doubt.
Somehow have to get back to an understanding of collective power, of group power, of group consciousness and moving as a group and mm-hmm. being concerned about the welfare of the group.
Yes.
What does Ubuntu say? I am because we are, and because we are, mm-hmm. therefore I am. Mm-hmm. So if the group is weak, then the individual is weak. But if the group is strong, then even weak individuals can gain additional strength.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And again, it's a lot that intuitively you would think we would know that. But and I think in a sense we do, but it is and I'm saying metaphorically, not physically necessarily, but it is beaten out of us. And the images that we see in movies, on TV, everywhere, deny us the opportunity to see ourselves as successful as a group, you know. So
that's very true.
I think
that's very true.
Our education, as Brother Thurman talks about the community, not the community centers, the cultural centers. You know, that's key, that Ulu is a culture. Ulu is
Absolutely.
Perceived as a culture, and that we, mm-hmm. You know, that we go forward from there. So mm-hmm. we have been having too good a time, Brother Angti. So
there's
I
one
like
quick principle I'd like to get in before we shut
okay.
down.
Okay.
And we said that pooling our money is our seed, and we said mm-hmm. the goal of all of this effort is to get us to a place of sovereignty, which is where
mm-hmm.
we began the conversation this evening. And
yes.
Sovereignty, as we said, is group power. We have to really let that sink in. There's
mm-hmm.
no such thing as a powerful individual apart from a powerful group.
Okay.
So group power, usually the power of a nation or nation state to exercise self-determination, to control its borders, to be self-sufficient in supplying its own food, clothing, and shelter and energy, to guarantee the safety of its citizens no matter where they may be on the planet. If
mm-hmm.
you are using another nation's currency or your national currency is tied to your former colonial master, you are not sovereign. That is, your group is not sovereign. Amilcar
mm-hmm.
Cabral, in 1966, gave us this definition of national liberation. He said, we can therefore conclude that national liberation exists only when the national productive forces have been completely freed from every kind of foreign domination. 55
yeah.
years ago, he gave that speech, and still we as a people have not understood this simple truth. We are
mm-hmm.
only free when we control the economics of our communities and nations. We cannot exercise sovereignty until we are free. And the people only make history when they are free and sovereign. Until then, they are just a footnote in somebody else's history.
Mm-hmm.
The sheer genius and beauty of us lifting us is that we can build this economic business model by ourselves, and that the business itself becomes the means of production. That is, control over this institution and the others that will spring from it is the process whereby we free our national productive forces. In other words, we take control of the economics of our lives, and we free ourselves from every form of foreign domination. Before
mm-hmm.
Europeans invaded the African continent and conquered our ancestors, we enjoyed sovereignty. We have not been free since then, and the only way to regain our freedom and our sovereignty is to build us lifting us. The good news, the really good news, is that everyone listening on this call this evening, everyone that we share this concept with and they in turn share it with someone else, every one of us has everything we need to grow this seed idea of Ulu into a global economic juggernaut. It is simply a matter of each of us pooling our dollars, participating in the guidance of this institution, and telling everyone we know or meet that our time has come. We have the unstoppable seed, and our victory is inevitable. Let me pause there, Sister Q.
Okay. There is no, oh, yes, there is someone with a comment or a question, so we'll take that. Okay, our caller with the last four digits, 6050, please state your name, where you're calling from, make your comment or ask your question.
Yeah, I, yeah, this is Patrick, and I'm calling because I just, you know, the first question is, I hear talk about pooling money, and I think maybe I missed the part about where's the project plan and where's pooling money for what and when and who and all that stuff. So I guess I just, if I could just get a quick primer on, you know, pooling money for what specifically. So maybe you guys can help me with that.
It's a good question, and thank you for raising it. Where are you calling from, brother?
Right now, I'm calling from Toronto. So
we are, first of all, understand that, and you may already know this, Us Lifting Us is a cooperative business. In other words, it is a group-owned and group-controlled economic business. Now, that's the primary cooperative. Spinning off from the primary cooperative will be what we call secondary cooperatives. In other words, a food cooperative to provide for our nutritional needs, a clothing cooperative to provide for clothing, another cooperative to build shelter. So the money is being pooled to offer all of these businesses. As we move around our communities, we think about the fact that whether we go to Kroger for our groceries, we pass the Korean beauty supply shop, we see other businesses owned by other communities. What we are saying, in every community where African people live, those businesses, whatever we need, whether it's food, whether it's hair care products, whether it's health, whether it's child care, Us Lifting Us will have a cooperative enterprise providing for those needs and those services. That's what the money is being pooled to do. Equally important, the businesses that are operating to meet those needs are also cooperatives. So what that means is that the people who work inside of those businesses are worker owners of the business. So we're getting away from the workers being exploited by the owners of the business, because now the workers are the owners of the business. That is the important aspect of a cooperative business model. It eliminates the exploitation of the people who do the work by making the people who do the work owners of the business, and then the surplus value that is generated by the business not only goes for the furtherance of the business, not only to provide the services that the community needs, but also to put a dividend in the pockets of the people who help to operate to set up the business in the first place. So it's a win-win-win situation. The people who work there benefit, the community in which the business operates benefits, and the people who organize the co-op to begin with, they benefit. So that is what the money is used for in a nutshell, and I hope I answered your question, brother, and thank you for the question.
Yeah, I think you gave a general concept of what it's supposed to be, you know. And okay, I mean, I think I think most people would agree. I mean, the concept of, you know, people owning their own businesses and kind of running kind of the micro means of production for their area or their community is something I think, you know, a lot of us have been talking about for a long time. And many of us, I mean, before we were even born, were talking about and actually doing this. So, because they really had no other choice. I don't think you find a whole lot of.
Oops. I'm sorry. Let me see if he's still there. I muted him by mistake.
No problem. Yeah, I don't think you find any resistance to the concept. I think what people are probably going to be looking for, and this is one of the tough things for people who are, you know, trying to get certain things off the ground and get certain concepts off the ground. They need capital to do it, so they come to the community. I think a couple of things. Number one, I think there have been some outright scams in the past, and then there have been so many other things that didn't work out that people are leery. And this is no fault of your own or anybody else's. This is just what has happened. So people are, you know, naturally a little leery, right, until they can see something concrete or there's mm-hmm. somebody that they seem successful enough or worthy, then they'll put their money behind mm-hmm. it. Like, let's say if LeBron James has something going on and he wants to raise a little money for something, there are people that would say, well, he's successful, he's wealthy, and he's well-known, so mm-hmm. and he's somewhat of a celebrity, so they will put their they may do it then, right? But mm-hmm. so this has been a problem for a lot of people who have come out with stuff. And so they come to the community and say, hey, let's put money, you know? And so mm-hmm. people are just a little weary because of things that have happened, you know, the many things that have happened. I'm sure you're aware of a lot of things that have happened.
Oh, yeah.
Some of them highly publicized, right? You know, new school. So that's a hurdle, right?
Right.
And I think the only thing that's going to get past that hurdle is if they actually see it and see the success first. So it's like the chicken or the egg, right? Like, you mm-hmm. know, hey, let's get the money to get something and make it successful. Mm-hmm. And then people are like, nah, we'd rather see it work first, and then we'll get into it. So that's kind of my thoughts, my quick thoughts on this and some of the issues that are had when you guys try to get people to fund something.
I would invite you to visit our website, usliftingus.com, and visit our business research and development tab and get a sense of what's on the drawing board. And reach out to us with your concerns so we can have a conversation offline. And because everything you're saying is absolutely true. And that's exactly where we and Us Lifting Us find ourselves. You know, people are weary. There are scams everywhere. Why should they trust us with their funds? And people want to see something concrete to know that this organization has the capacity to do what they say. So appreciate your comment, and thank you for calling in. But do spend some time on our website and find let's hook up with you so we can continue the conversation.
Yes, thank you for the call, Brother Patrick.
Hey, no problem. Thank you.
Okay, I don't know, Brother Patrick, spark something. Somebody else wants to make a comment. It's up to you, Brother Auntie.
Let's take the last comment, and then we're going to have to.
Right, okay. All right, we'll do that. Okay, caller from number 8912, please state your name, where you're calling from, and make your comment or question. Thank you.
Yes, this is Brother Thurman. I'm calling from Richmond, and I'm a ULU member. And I want to add, in the interest of time, is that I want to add to the conversation, the good conversation we just had in this entire hour, is that when it comes to ulu, that's another thing that sets ulu apart that needs to be emphasized, is that as a ulu member, when it comes to things that have happened in the past that were not successful, some of them were their intention wasn't even righteous. As a ulu member, every member has a say-so about what's being done. And so when you join ulu, your voice is important, and whatever you see that needs to be done another way, you've got some input on that, and that's very, very valuable, because a lot of things that we could be offered the opportunity to invest in, we have little say-so. And I wanted to add that. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Brother Simon. Okay. Okay, Brother Ongti, do you want to tell people how to get to ulu, and then we can close it out? It's after 10 o'clock. A very excellent program.
Yes, it is. Go to the website, uslistingus.com, uslistingus.com, and you'll see where you can get additional information, contact numbers, plans on the plans of action, and where you can fit in and where you can roll up your sleeves and go to work with us. Sister Q, you want to close us out?
Yes. I want to thank everyone for joining us this evening. We'll be back next Thursday evening at 9 o'clock Eastern Time for another installment of Dare to Win, and I hope everyone will go to the website and get as much information about us, listing us, as possible, and join us on this venture as we sow our seed of sovereignty. Thank you. Peace,
Thank
Brother
you, Sister.
Peace, everyone.
Peace.